The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Hello and welcome to the May 2013 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm your host, George Douglas, and this program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you would like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how you can do that later in this program. Now, this program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well, both digital and cassette, although most of the books are now in digital. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. If you are not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. Well, this month we'll take a look at the most popular books checked out during the month of April 2013 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. And we're going to begin our program this month with a very, very popular author. The number one book this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind was called The Forgotten by David Baldacci. Now, here's the plot. Army Special Agent John Puller is just returning from a little R&R when his father summons him. These days, retired General Puller resides in a medical facility, his mind drifting in and out of reality. He has received a letter from his sister Betsy, and even with his diminished sanity, he can tell that something is wrong, and he knows his son is the right man for this assignment. Betsy has a house near the beach in Paradise, Florida, but when Agent Puller tries to reach her by phone, he gets no answer. He has a few days before he needs to report back to duty, so he goes down to check on her. Unfortunately, when he gets there, he discovers that Aunt Betsy is dead. While the police don't seem to find her death suspicious, Puller does. And once he realizes he is being followed, he is even more convinced that she was murdered. If he can't get the cops to do something, then he'll have to do it himself. Teeming with David Baldacci's characteristic roller coaster pacing, The Forgotten turns its own pages. Be forewarned, you are in for a wild ride. Of course, in his snooping around, Puller runs afoul of the local police, angers a group of gang members, and draws the attention of his own employer, the Army. As if he didn't have enough to worry about, he encounters what only could be described as a giant who might be on his side, but he is reserving judgment on that until later. It becomes very clear from the start that all is not well in Paradise. Someone is running a highly profitable business and a highly illegal one, selling human beings. But who? And more to the point, does it have anything at all to do with Aunt Betsy's death? Puller aims to find out. A giant named Mecho, M-E-C-H-O, appears to be doing the same thing. Trust is a bit scarce between them, but maybe they can be of mutual benefit. As Puller gets closer to the truth, more roadblocks spring up in his path, and now the forecast is showing Tropical Storm Danielle bearing down on Paradise. One-star General Julie Carson catches wind of Puller's inquiries about the men he suspected were following him. Luckily, she's a friend of his and decides to travel to Paradise to see what she can do to help. Things didn't sound too good over the phone, and the CID agent likely needs someone to cover his flank, especially when the stakes are so high, and especially when he's been getting mixed signals from the cops. Whose side are they on, anyway? Couple the impending storm with Puller's recently acquired enemies, and he's going to need a lot of help and even more luck in order to survive this case. Agent John Puller, who made his first appearance in 2011's Zero Day, perhaps you read that one, is a formidable yet deeply human character. His life is far from perfect, but still he carries on with humor and passion. That is never more evident than with this surprising ending, teeming with David Baldacci's characteristic roller coaster pacing. The Forgotten turns its own pages. Be forewarned, you're in for a wild ride, as we said a little bit earlier. The book is called The Forgotten, and it's by the very popular author, David Baldacci. And next, we'll move on to another very popular book this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. This one is called Shiver, and it was written by Karen Robards. If driving a piece of crap tow truck, pardon my French, through the seediest part of town with a Smith & Wesson beside her means putting a roof over her son's head, then Samantha Jones is going to be the best damn repo woman on the books. The streetwalkers, the drug pushers, the bands of looking for trouble punks haunting the mean streets at midnight don't intimidate her. These are her people, the guy she finds bound and bloodied in the trunk of her latest conquest, a flashy new BMW, is a different breed entirely. Daniel Pantero was certain he was going to die. Instead, by a stroke of luck, he was beaten to within an inch of his life and left for dead. But if he's having a bad day, Sam's day is about to get way worse. Danny knows he hasn't seen the last of the vicious drug runners who kidnapped him from protective custody. His only recourse is to take his pretty savior hostage and force her to help him. There's no way back for Samantha and her 4-year-old son, Tyler. They're in way too deep. With ruthless killers stalking their trail, Sam's only choice is to trust this handsome, menacing stranger. But as she relinquishes control, Sam feels an unmistakable desire. Could she be tempted by Danny, who seems intent on protecting her and Tyler from even his own darkest secrets? And what is the price of falling in love with a man who operates on the edge of danger? Her heart, her life, or both? The book is called Shiver by Karen Robards. Here's another one that you'll like. This was book number 3 in popularity this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. It is called Shadow Woman, and it was written by Linda Howard. Here's the plot. Lizette Henry wakes up one morning and makes a terrifying discovery. She doesn't recognize the face she sees in the mirror. She remembers what she looks like, but her reflection is someone else's. Now, to add to the shock, 2 years seem to have disappeared from her life. Someone has gone to great and inexplicable lengths to keep those missing years hidden forever. But the past always finds a way to return. Strange memories soon begin to surface, and along with them, some unusual skills and talents that Lizette hasn't a clue about acquiring. Sensing that she's being monitored, Lizette suddenly knows how to search for bugs in her house and tracking devices in her car. What's more, she can elude surveillance like a trained agent. Enter a mysterious and seductive stranger named Xavier, who claims that he wants to help, but who triggers disturbing images of an unspeakable crime of which Lizette may or may not be the perpetrator. With memories returning, she suddenly becomes a target of an anonymous assassin. On the run with nowhere to hide, Lizette has no choice but to rely on Xavier, a strong and magnetic man she does not trust, with a powerful attraction that she cannot resist. As murky waters become clear, Lizette confronts a conspiracy that is treacherous and far-reaching, and a truth that once revealed may silence her and Xavier once and for all. RT Book Review said about Shadow Woman, dazzling from the opening line, it will grab readers and take them on an exhilarating and terrifying adventure. So you may want to request this one from the North Carolina Library from the Blind. It's Shadow Woman by Linda Howard. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Thanks for joining me for this month's edition. The next book we'll turn to now is called Fatal Friends, Deadly Neighbors, and Other True Cases by Anne Rule. This was the fourth most popular book at the North Carolina Library for the Blind this past month. It's a chilling reality that homicide investigators know all too well. The last face most murder victims see is not that of a stranger, but of someone familiar. Whether only an acquaintance or a trusted intimate, such killers share a common trait that triggers the downward spiral toward death for someone close to them. They are masters at hiding who they really are. Their clever masks let them appear safe, kind, and truthful. They are anything but, and almost no one can detect the murderous impulses buried deep in their psyches. These doomed relationships are the focus of Anne Rule's 16th all-new Crime Files collection. In these shattering inside views of both headlined and little-known homicides, Rule speaks for vulnerable victims who relied on the wrong people. She begins with two startling novella-length investigations. In July 2011, a billionaire's Coronado, California mansion was the setting for two horrifying deaths only days apart. His young son's plunge from a balcony and his girlfriend's ghastly hanging. What really happened? Baffling questions remain unanswered as these cases were closed far too soon for hundreds of people. Rule looks at them now through the eyes of a relentless crime reporter. The second probe began in Utah when Susan Powell vanished in a 2009 blizzard. Her controlling husband, Josh, proved capable of a blind rage that was heartbreakingly fatal to his innocent small sons almost 3 years later in a tragedy that shocked America as the details unfolded. If anyone had detected the depth of depravity within Josh Powell, perhaps the family that loved and trusted him would have been saved. In these and seven other riveting cases, Anne Rule exposes the twisted truth behind the facades of Fatal Friends and Deadly Neighbors. And that was written by Anne Rule. The next book we're going to take a look at on this program is entitled The Black Box, and it was written by the very popular author Michael Connelly. After 20 years at the writing game, Michael Connelly has earned the right to wax nostalgic. That's essentially what this old pro does in The Black Box, giving Harry Bosch, a battle-scarred veteran who still holds down a desk in the open, unsolved unit of the Los Angeles Police Department, a chance to settle past and present scores with a single case. Now, Bosch employs highly unorthodox but extremely entertaining methods for getting results, making sneaky end runs around the sclerotic bureaucracy of the LAPD. Now, the story opens with a harrowing flashback to the riots of 1992 when South Central Los Angeles went up in flames. Bosch and his partner were sent into this war zone to work an ordinary homicide, the execution-style killing of a white woman quickly tagged Snow White. Like scores of other crimes committed during these chaotic days, the murder of Annika Jespersen, a Danish photojournalist and international war correspondent, was never solved. With the 20th anniversary of the riots coming up, the top brass tried to stop Bosch from revisiting his old turf, anticipating a public relations nightmare should the murder of a white woman turn out to be the only open case the police manager to close. The police managed to close. Bosch won't budge, of course, because that's just the way Bosch is. Connolly has always been scrupulous about following proper procedure, which means that his aging detective must scramble to keep current in the forensic sciences. It's fun to watch an old war horse like Bosch navigating the new technology, or more often than not, getting younger officers to do it for him. But Bosch is working a 20-year-old case using 20-year-old methods that involve analog human skills, like interrogating hostile witnesses, making blind phone calls, and walking a gun, cop jargon, for methodically linking a single gun to multiple murders. The title of this novel refers to what is probably the most primitive and symbolically potent example of such police work: the street cop's handwritten notes taken in the field and jotted down on index cards to be stored in little black boxes. Handed one of these objects by an old school cop, Bosch regards it with respectful awe. Amazed it escaped the purge that imperfectly transferred all hard files to digital archives. However dated, some artifacts simply must be saved. I think you'll enjoy this one. Again, it's called The Black Box by Michael Connolly. In the few months that we've been doing Heard Any Good Books lately, I've read to you several plot summaries by Linda Lael Miller. She is very, very popular with the patrons of the North Carolina Library for the Blind, and her new book, relatively new book, Big Sky River, was number 6 on the top 10 of books checked out during this past month. Here's the plot. As the daughter of a town marshal, Linda has come home to the Western lifestyle that gave birth to one of today's most successful authors. She left Washington years ago and pursued her wanderlust, living in Arizona and London and traveling the world. Now the author of more than 100 novels, the First Lady of the West, is glad to be back home, writing contemporary and historical stories that have earned her awards and placements on all the national bestseller lists. Linda traces the birth of her writing career to the day when a Northport teacher told her that the stories she was writing were good, that she just might have a future in writing. Later, when she decided to write novels, she endured her share of rejection before she sold Fletcher's Woman in 1983 to Pocket Books. Since then, Linda has successfully published historicals, contemporaries, paranormals, and thrillers before coming home in a literal sense and concentrating on novels with a Western flair. For her devotion to her craft, the Romance Writers of America awarded her their prestigious Nora Roberts Lifetime Achievement Award in 2007. Just a little bit of background on Linda Lael Miller. Linda's current contemporary Big Sky series, Big Sky Country, Big Sky Mountain, and now the one we're going to talk about, Big Sky River, have all hit the New York Times bestseller lists. Linda continues to follow the lives of the Parable, Montana residents in Big Sky Summer and Big Sky Wedding, both coming up later in 2013. But here's the story behind Big Sky River, the one that was so popular this past month. Sheriff Boone Taylor has his job, friends, a run-down but decent ranch, two faithful dogs, and a good horse. He doesn't want romance. The widowed Montanan has loved and lost enough for a lifetime. But when a city woman buys the spread next door, Boone's peace and quiet are in serious jeopardy. With a marriage and a career painfully behind her, Tara Kendall is determined to start over in Parable. Reinventing herself and living a girlhood dream is worth the hard work. Sure, she might need help from her handsome, wary neighbor, but life along Big Sky River is full of surprises, like falling for a cowboy lawman who just might start to believe in second chances. One of the books that you'll enjoy listening to this year, or reading, either one, from the Big Sky series by Linda Lael Miller. The one that was so popular in April at the North Carolina Library for the Blind was called Big Sky River. I'm going to take just a brief moment here to pause from the description of some of the most popular books of the month and read you an article from the winter 2013 edition of Tar Heel Talk from the North Carolina Library for the Print and Visually Handicapped. The article was entitled End of an Era, and it was written by Carl Keene, the regional librarian. With the announcement that cassette service is to be discontinued by the end of 2015, the National Library Service is ending a service which started in 1976. Now, over the next 3 years, libraries have been asked to reduce their collection of books on cassette so that by the end of 2015, the cassette collection will be eliminated. Now, what will this mean for you, the reader? As our cassette collection gets smaller, you may need to wait to obtain a specific title on cassette. We will have fewer copies of each title available to loan out. You can still request or reserve titles that you are interested in. If you have a digital talking book machine, you can take advantage of a rapidly growing collection of digital materials. If you have not yet obtained a digital talking book machine, you are welcome to do so. Please contact the North Carolina Library for the Blind at 1-888-388-2460. That's 1-888-388-2460, and they will be happy to send you a player. Magazines will also be changing from cassette to digital cartridge format as well. We've been contacting each of our readers without digital talking book machines that subscribe to magazines on cassettes. We are letting you know that magazines will only be available in digital cartridge format and that you will need a digital talking book machine to play them. If we have not contacted you yet, please give us a call and we'll be happy to set you up with digital service. Please be aware that with the change to digital magazines, the reader will no longer be keeping the magazine for an indefinite period. Magazines will need to be returned as you now return books. They will be shipped to you in containers that will allow you to return them at the end of the loan period. And happy reading! And that article was written by Carl Keene, the regional librarian of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Visually Handicapped. And Tar Heel Talk is a quarterly publication. That was from the winter edition. There'll be a new one out soon for spring, I am sure, and that is available online at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And now back to the books. One of the most popular books this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind was Kiss the Girls, a psychological thriller novel by American writer James Patterson. The second to star in his recurring main character Alex Cross, an African-American psychologist and policeman. It was first published in 1995 and was adapted into a movie by the same name in 1997. Here's the plot. As a teenage boy in 1975, Boca Raton, Florida, a future serial killer called himself Casanova. He kills his first four victims. Elsewhere, in 1981, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, another killer calling himself the Gentleman Caller kills a young couple on a lake. Years later, Casanova leaves a young woman to die in the woods. Around the same time, Washington Police Detective Alex Cross comes home to find several relatives waiting for him and is informed that his niece, Naomi Scoochie Cross, currently a student at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, is missing. He travels to North Carolina with his partner, Samson, and they meet Detectives Nick Ruskin and Davy Sykes, who tell them that the FBI and the DEA are involved and that 8 to 10 women are missing, all from different states. All have received notes from someone calling himself Casanova. Around the same time, Casanova abducts another woman, Dr. Kate McTiernan, and makes her part of his harem of young, attractive, and exceptional women. In Los Angeles, reporter Beth Lieberman is working on a serial killer story about the gentleman caller who has just raped and murdered a 14-year-old girl. He threatens bonus kills if his letters are not published in her newspaper. FBI agent Kyle Craig meets Lieberman in Los Angeles. Casanova plans to kill Kate McTiernan because she broke the rules, but she fights him and manages to escape, running into a forest and jumping off a cliff into the river below. Meanwhile, Cross discovers that one of the gentleman caller's notes, published in the Los Angeles Times, mentions Naomi. After contacting Lieberman and her editor-in-chief, he learns that Casanova and the gentleman caller are communicating as coast-to-coast serial killers. Quite an exciting book here by the very, very popular mystery writer James Patterson. It is called Kiss the Girls, and it is available from the North Carolina Library for the blind and physically handicapped. Earlier in our program today, I described another book, Big Sky River, by Linda Lale Miller. We have another one that was on the top 10 this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. It is called An Outlaw's Christmas, a McKetricks of Texas novel by Linda Lale Miller. And I thought you might like to hear the plot about this one. It's a pretty short description, but I think you'll enjoy it. With his wild heart, Sawyer McKetrick isn't ready to settle down on the Triple M family ranch in Arizona. So he heads to Blue River, Texas to seek a job as marshal. But in a blinding snowstorm, he's injured and collapses into the arms of a prim and proper lady in calico. The shirtless, bandaged stranger recuperating in Teacher Piper St. James' room behind the schoolhouse says he's a McKetrick, but he looks like an outlaw. As they wait out the storm, the handsome loner has Piper remembering long-ago dreams of marriage and motherhood. But for how long is Sawyer willing to call Blue River home? As the gray skies clear, Piper's one holiday wish just might bring two lonely hearts together forever. And that is An Outlaw's Christmas, a McKetricks of Texas novel by Linda Lale Miller. And believe it or not, that is about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program. If you would like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind or call toll-free 1-888-388-2460. That's 1-888-388-2460. You can also use those same phone numbers, by the way, and the website as well, to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Heard Any Good Books Lately? Will be available right after the broadcast. So long, until